Adults, you ready to stay for big church? Oh, man. This is going to be fun. I'm so glad that you've come this morning. You know, it's all in how you look at things. There's different perspectives of different things. Now, I appreciate all the work that the cleaning team, the hospitality team has done. I have one bone to pick with them. You see, this morning, I was going to start out with an illustration, and I had a box up front that was going to help with that illustration. But I'm pretty sure that whoever cleaned last night, maybe Bill and Teresa, took the box, or his power, I'm not sure, and threw it in the trash. It wasn't you guys? Maybe. You wouldn't admit to it anyway. You're in church. Don't lie. No. I plead the fifth. I had a box up here that was going to help you to kind of stay awake. It's gone. I even looked in the trash cans today. It's gone. Here's what the box was. It's a matter of perspective. So they do such a thorough job that they even throw my stuff away. It's all good. You know, I understand. I'm kidding. They wouldn't have known because I leave a mess everywhere. So here's the reality. The box I was going to show you was a box of Frosted Flakes. Now, on the front of the box is whom? Tony the Tiger. What does Tony the Tiger say? Wow, that was bad. That sounded like a cow that was dying or something. Okay. They're great, okay? And that's what Tony the Tiger says. My son, Ethan, who's now 5 years old, can't read yet, and he doesn't know about the commercial because it just doesn't get seen much. But here's what Ethan says. It's one of his favorite cereals. He says it's the Monster cereal. I would have never connected that and said this is the Monster cereal. I mean, Boo Berry, Count Chocula, you know, or such. They would be the Monster cereal. But he looked at this and he said this is the Monster cereal. And it's really all a matter of perspective, isn't it? Because after I understood what he was saying, I'm like, oh yeah, maybe to a five-year-old, he does look a little bit like a monster. Often in life, it really comes down to a matter of perspective and how we view things. This year, we've been trying to give you a different perspective on things. We've been going through this book called The Story, and the purpose is to give you a different perspective. Oftentimes, we come to church, and we just kind of show up and do our thing and hope to get something out of it and go home. And what we've been trying to do this year more specifically is to give you a picture of the entire Bible. Why did God write the Bible to us? What's the point? Where is God? And we've looked at the upper story and lower story. The upper story is, here's what God is doing that we can't see, but he's doing this in the background. He's orchestrating all kinds of things to happen throughout history. And you say, wow, look how big God is. Here's the lower story. Here's what man is going through. You know, it's the difference between Tony the Tiger and the monster, right? When you look at the two, you'd see it at God, and you see how God is orchestrating from Adam and Eve. Even before that, even before he had in his mind, as he creates mankind, he has in his mind that Jesus Christ will redeem man, because man left to himself will choose to do the wrong thing, will choose to do what is profitable and best for them, not caring about anyone else. And they show that off in the garden, and we've been showing it off ever since. That we do what we feel like, and we kind of push God out of the picture. And so he has in mind Jesus Christ is going to pay for all the sins of the world to reconcile man to himself. We see that worked out, upper story, lower story. Here's what God's going to do. He's going to send his only son. He indicates that to Adam and Eve in the garden. He indicates that all the way through Genesis, and you can see that in different pictures with Abraham and such. You look at Joseph and the story he's going through, the life he's living, where you say, this is a miserable story. 13 years in slavery, for real, enough already. But God has a bigger story, and here's Joseph living out the lower story of, here's what I'm doing, and okay, God, I'm going to trust in you through my circumstances. It's not looking right, it's not looking best, but I know you do what is best all the time. And you look at Joshua and Judges, and you look all the way through it, and you see how God is is painting this awesome picture to get to the end, to get to the point where he sends his one only son to come and to live perfect and to die innocent and to be resurrected from the dead, conquering sin and death. And we look and say, wow, how marvelous. It's not about coming to church. I've been saying that for years now. It's not about coming to church and putting in your time. It's not that. What it is about, it's about understanding and knowing who Jesus Christ is and living that out in a daily way. Why? Because he promises to bless us and because it pleases him. Simple. That's it. And so that's what we're here to do as a church. I want to give you a different perspective. And I know it's right after Christmas, and you've got the after Christmas blues, right? Oh, I just want to go back to sleep. You're kind of in sleep coma because the last few days maybe you've been relaxing and sleeping a little bit more than the norm, and I feel bad for you now. And tomorrow, for some, you've got to go back to work, and for kids, teens, you're like, I don't have to go to work. I get to sleep till 12 again tomorrow, or 10, whatever, or 2, whatever your parents allow you to do. Well, I want to give you, just continue on this and be able to think about Christmas and what happens right after Christmas. What happened right after Christ ascended? Because that was the end. That was the end of Jesus Christ being on the earth. That was the pinnacle, the ending moment where he's there with his followers, and all of a sudden he ascends. They don't see him anymore. He's not part of their life. They can't have a daily conversation. They can't ask him all kinds of different questions. It's, okay, this is now over. In Acts chapter 1, we get the picture of this in Acts chapter 1. If you want to turn there with me, you can. If you're too tired to do that, I even provided this on the screen for you to help you out this morning, okay? Acts chapter 1, verse 6. Here's the picture that we have. Jesus is there with his followers, his disciples. They're in this area, and they're having a final discussion where they say to him, when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Here's the question that they're asking. When you look back through history, you'd see, okay, back in the very beginning, you predict that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is going to be born. You get to the point of David and Solomon, and he says, I'm promising an everlasting kingdom. Now what their expectation still is that there will be an everlasting kingdom, and he's going to now set it up. He has died. He's risen again. He is existing with them on the earth after he's resurrected from the dead. Very amazing time. So the expectation is, okay, everlasting kingdom, let's put the pieces together. Here's what that means. Here's my limited understanding of what this really means for us today. It means that God is going to set up his kingdom, the kingdom of Israel. It's now going to be this everlasting kingdom, and he's going to reign forever. It's going to be amazing, and here's where it begins. Do you follow where I'm at now? Okay, we'll think a little bit less just to kind of keep our brains together here. Okay. So there's their question. It goes back to all of this. And he says to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. God has the final authority. He says, but you will receive power. Here's what's going to happen. Don't worry about the kingdom. That's not the important part right now. The important part is you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit, here's the third part of the Trinity, God is going to come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. If you're sitting there at that time, you're having a conversation with Jesus, and he says, listen, don't worry about the kingdom. Here's what you need to know. This is important for today. You're going to receive power from the Holy Spirit. Question, could you see Peter? I kind of get that, but what's that mean? Like, am I going to be stronger than everybody else? I mean, for me as a guy, that's kind of what I'm thinking. I'm going to receive power. Sweet. I'm going to pick up a car with one hand. I don't know. He says, here's the reality. You're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Here's the process. Here's what's going to happen. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and you're going to have something to do, something to accomplish, something that I have for you, a mission. When he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. Now this would be a pretty radical day, wouldn't you say? Here's Jesus hanging out, having a conversation, and he says, here's the reality. Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. Here's what you should be concerned about, and you're going to be my witnesses, and here's the reality. And as he says this, a cloud comes and he takes him away. Good day or bad day? Confusing day. Moving forward is what his goal is. Guys, you're going to have to move forward out of this kingdom thing. It's not for you. This is not your discussion for right now. Let's move forward. Here's what you need to know. Here's what it looks to move forward. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, and you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the end of the earth. Here's what you must know right now. You've got a mission to accomplish. Moving forward looks like doing things to fulfill our mission. In a church setting, how do you know if a church is successful? Does a bigger building say a church is successful? Yes or no? No. Does a bigger budget say a church is successful? No. Okay. A bigger sign out front say the church is successful? Okay. No. Okay. What is this? How do you say a church is being successful? Success really comes back to, are we fulfilling the mission that God has called us to? Are we fulfilling the mission that God has called us to? If you're going to cook Christmas dinner, and some of you did and some of you didn't, if you're cooking Christmas dinner or maybe you have a New Year's Eve party going on or whatever, a successful time is for you to say, I have food prepared for everyone. You can't control whether people come, but you can control cooking the food and having everything prepared. And that's the reality. Here's what we are to control. We are to control the mission. Here's the mission God has sent for us to be doing. It's that we are engaging communities to experience Christ. That's what it is for Berean. We're engaging communities to experience Christ. Matthew 28, 18 to 20, the last time that Jesus is having a conversation prior to this, he has a meal with them, and he says, all authority, here again he says, all authority, where's the authority come from? God the Father. I'm giving you this authority. All authority has been given to me. It says, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And here's the reality. You ever think the church is irrelevant? You ever feel like, what's the point? This is the most relevant thing for us. This is the most relevant thing for every moment of our lives. No matter where you are, no matter what's going on, the most relevant thing is to understand and know that God has a mission for us, for those that believe in Jesus Christ. So here's the reality. Moving forward looks like doing things to fulfill our mission. As a church, here's our mission, to go and make disciples through the power of the Holy Spirit. You say, I know, we've heard that before. And you're going to hear it again and again and again. Why? Because we need to constantly be reminded. Here's what a church tends to do. A church tends to be in a position where it just kind of takes care of its own and becomes isolated from people outside of the church and doesn't reach out, but becomes more inward kind of thinking instead of outward thinking. And so for me, my mission, my passion is to follow through with what Jesus said, his very last statements to his disciples, and follow through with this church and to say, here's what we're called to do. This is where I find fulfillment. You ever want to make a mark with your life? You with me? You want to make a difference? You want something to be different? You want at the end of your life not to look back and say, what happened? Here's how I see it. God wants us to make a difference by making a difference in other people's lives. What if God uses us to the degree where we get to share Jesus Christ with other people, where one person or two or 100 or 500 people come to Christ through your faithfulness to God as he directs you through the power of the Holy Spirit? Wouldn't that be cool? That'd be worth living for, yes? And so that's what we're doing as a church. As you do this, as we lead someone to Christ. If, for example, say this church building is not here. Say we don't gather. Say I just move into this area and I'm like, you know what? What am I supposed to do? So I'm working a job and I begin to lead someone to Christ. What's the first thing they want to do? They want to know more about him. Okay, who's this Jesus and how's he work in my life in every different aspect? How's this work out, you know, in my job? How's this work out in my relationships? And so you begin to meet together. What do you call that meeting time? It's assembly of believers, which is called the church. Okay? That's how the church is born. You can't get away from a church if you're a follower of Christ. You get to this point where you say, I need to get together so I can grow, understand God, understand his plan for me more and more and more. And so then as a church, here's what we do. We're moving forward by engaging our community. How do we do that? First, we have to identify our community. It's both in the church, but it's outside of the church. That's our priority then. And so for our church this past year, 2014, we've given opportunities to do that. And we try to, there's two different philosophies as far as how you run a church. One is to have an entertainment center, where, and I'm not knocking that, I'm just kind of sharing thoughts there. There's an entertainment center where it becomes a lot of hype and a lot of activities and a lot of fun things to draw people in. And that's one way of doing it. That's not who I am at all. I'm not a big kind of frills person. The other way is to say, here, I'm going to equip you to go do the work of sharing Christ with your friends. And that's how I see the church functioning for where we are. So there's two different views. Either one is fine, but this is my personality, how God has moved me and the elders as well. This is how we see things. And so that's where we are. But what we do is we provide a couple opportunities, because as you are sharing Christ with others, one of the things you kind of come into a roadblock with is, you know what? You've shared Christ and they're not getting it. So let's bring them into an opportunity where the whole church gets to share Christ with them. And we see this played out in Scripture as well. In 1 Corinthians, you see the church in Corinth where you have both people that believe in Jesus and people that don't that are gathered together. And so we can work that out. And so what we do is we give opportunities for the church to engage with the community. January 26th in 2014, we had the Friend Day, which was just an opportunity for all of the church to bring in their friends. We had the big day in September, which was the same idea. It was just an opportunity to invite our friends in, just get to know different people and to have some fun with them. With that, then, throughout the year, we try to follow up on people. How do we do that? In the bulletin, do I have one up here? I do. Awesome bulletin, by the way. Cover is really cool. In the bulletin, we have these things called a response card. Everybody with me? You know what a response card is? Yes? Okay, you've seen this before? The reason for this is for you to communicate back to myself and the leadership team so that we can pray and care for and follow up on the things that you put on here. Okay? So they're anonymous in the sense to just, or it's just intended for the leadership team. And so we follow up on this. Now, on the back of this is for guests. People that come for the first time, they fill out these, and they give these in. Why do we do this? Because we want to follow up in several different ways. We want to follow up with our guests by sending them just a thank you card. We want to send them information about the church. We want to just build an open communication time for people in the community, people that come in that are guests. So within that, here's some statistics. I keep track of statistics. I enjoy statistics because they tell a story. Anybody else like statistics? There's three people. Okay, four or five. Okay, good. So here's some statistics. As we move forward by engaging our community, here's our guest statistics. In 2014, here's our first-time guest. And on the back here, it has, how did you hear about Berean? Now, seven out of the 44, so you had 44 that were handed in that were totally first-time guests. Of that, seven didn't put anything on this as to where they heard about Berean. So I'm not sure how they heard about Berean. They just kind of showed up. It could have been anything, or they just don't want to share, okay? First-time guests, what brought them in? Four people said the website brought them in. The church sign had six. Awana, two. VBS, we didn't do this year. We're going to do it in 2015, but VBS, it's not applicable. And the church, basically someone in the church invited me. A friend invited me to come. That's 24, and then seven's not sure. So you add those up. You have 44 cards that were handed in this year. Well, that's pretty cool. And so here's what we do with that. We take and we send them cards and different things just to be an encouragement to them. If you never hand in a response card in that kind of way, then we don't do any follow-up. And sometimes it's a phone call or whatever. We just try to follow up in some way that's just genuine. So out of that, here's who's returned. 4 from the website, 1 from the sign, 2 from Awana, 4 from the church. So in total, 11 returned at least one time, if not more. And so we would look at that and you'd say 1 out of 4 people have returned and filled out a response card more than one time then. And so that's our follow-up. In church world, and this is my job, not yours, in church world, that's good numbers, okay, as far as the follow-up. It's not great numbers as far as growing a church. You have to have about 5 times that to see a church growing as far as how many guests are coming. I'm going to guess, though, we have 2 times that because half of the guests don't fill out a card. Okay? Why? Because it's the Baptists. You know what they do. Like, they're going to come visit you and they're going to hound you. You know how they are. They're probably going to bring snakes to your door or something like that and do some kind of dance. I don't know what they're going to do, but I'm not sure about those, you know, and that's kind of how it works. So some people are afraid, so they don't. So we probably have double that. In order for the church to be growing at a very rapid rate, you have to have about 4 or 5 times that number. And that's just statistics. It's whatever. God can do what God can do outside of statistics, yes? So what do I look at, though, with this? Here's what I look at. Are we being responsible? Are we being responsible? Here's how we're fulfilling our mission. Here's the how-to. Here's the kind of nuts and bolts of how it's supposed to work. How are we engaging our community? Well, we pray, invest, and invite. We pray, invest, and invite in different people. Our website, Andrew and John do a phenomenal job on the website. If you haven't looked at it lately, take a look at it. It's really awesome. It's done very well. People that take a look at the website, what they're doing is they're coming into the community and saying, you know what, I'm looking for a church. Let me just Google and see what kind of church to look at, and we have different things we're working on there. And so that gives them the information then that attracts them to say, well, I'm going to give this place a shot. And so that's one way, one avenue of engaging our community. Another way is through our church sign. That church sign gets more attention than anything. It's amazing. And so we try to change that on a weekly or biweekly basis, just keep it informed. You can see that it's behind right now. We're still advertising for Christmas Eve, and that's gone. I was trying to do that yesterday. It didn't get done yet. Awana is another one where we're reaching out in the community by reaching kids and families there. And then church, it's just you inviting your friends. And you do a great job at that. You're inviting friends on a consistent basis, and I'm excited for that. That's awesome. And so that's what we're doing. How does this then work out? So you invite someone in. What's the plan after that? How do you engage the community after that? Here's how. You be friendly. You show the irresistible love of Christ to people. Simple. Is Christ loving? If you were to come into Christ's presence, would he be accepting of you or would he ignore you? Which one? Accepting? Ignoring? No, that's ridiculous, right? So our church should be accepting and inviting people in and engaging with them and having conversations and relationships with people. That would be a right way for us to handle church life. Why? Because we're trying to honor God. So here's what we've set up. We've set up this hospitality team. We want to be hospitable. We look at this as not a building that's just empty, but we look at it as a place of a meeting, a gathering place. And so people come in, and so what we want to do is from the very beginning, when they drive in, they get to the first door, they're going to see someone greeting them. Why? Because we just want to care. That's it. If they are wondering, hey, where's the restroom? Hey, what do I do next? People are there to share. This is what's next. This is what's going on. This is how you can find this and that and the other thing. We started that a little over, I think it's 2 years ago now, a hospitality team. And it's doing great. Still growing, still working at it, and still needs improvements, of course, and everything does. But that's doing great. It really is helpful. Matter of fact, this year, we had one person that came for the big day that their response to the big day, I was able to go out and visit with them. And so I went over to their house and had dessert with them, which was great. I enjoyed doing that. And so I just asked them about their visit and such, and they said, I'll tell you what was most impressive to me. And I thought, I was waiting. I'm like, it was the preacher, right? No. Most people, it takes a lot to get to that point of, yeah, the preachers are really great. It was the people at the door. That's why they came back a second time. As a matter of fact, that person then said, hey, can I help out in that? Because those people made me feel so comfortable. I want to be part of that ministry. And they've been volunteering the last couple weeks. Is that cool or what? See, at that door, you're making a difference. Out in the parking lot, you're making a difference. And then when you come in, it's so cool to see that this place is clean. I mean, they even take stuff that's not intended to be taken, but that's all right. You know, they really clean, and that's all right. We love them for it. But you come in and you expect everything's going to be clean, neat, and in its place. Why? Because volunteers come in throughout the week and say, I'll vacuum, I'll clean, I'll wash the windows, I'm going to decorate, I'm going to take care of this, that, and the other thing, I'll mop the floor, I'll put toilet paper, and it doesn't matter. I'll clean, make sure it's good, just like you would for a guest. If you're having somebody over your house, you'd make sure it's clean, right? I mean, you'd scrub the toilet down, yes? Okay? You know, I'll leave that alone. But you would expect that you'd kind of clean a little bit, and if you have a little dust, who cares? But you try to get everything as clean as you can because you just want them to feel welcome and comfortable there. And so that's what we do. We have a hospitality team that's just identifying and showing the irresistible love of Christ. They keep the church clean, and they also greet people as they come in. They're the ushers for the offering as well. And then you have follow-up team where it's comprised of one or two people at this point in time, one person besides myself, that sends out letters and cards and emails and things like that. That's very important. I find that I can email people and they'll email me back. About one out of eight or nine people will actually email me back upon emailing them, which is really cool. Gives me instant communication. I'm not visiting in their home, which is kind of a problem sometimes, but I'm able to have a conversation where people say, hey, the last one I got was about a month ago where a person emailed me back and said, thanks for emailing me. I don't know what a Baptist is. Can you help me understand what a Baptist is? And so I sent pictures of snake handling, and no, I didn't do that. I gave a great conversation to be able to just elaborate a little bit about that. Can I just say, if you're not involved anywhere, those are the easiest places to be involved. And they make a great impact. You could help out as a greeter. You could help out cleaning. You could help out by writing cards. What I'd like to see is, as well, someone helped to change the sign this year. Last year, I was trying to train a couple people. It didn't work out. And this year, I'd like to see someone come alongside and help change the sign on a weekly basis. I'd like to see two people changing the sign this year on a weekly basis so that every week it receives so much attention throughout the week that you have thousands of cars that drive by. And I have so many people in the community. I've had people even this year that stop by. They'll stop their car while I'm changing the sign and say, hey, thanks for the sign. We love it. Literally stopping while I'm changing the sign. It's amazing. And we've had people write cards and different things because of that sign. It's the hospitality team. It's all of these things working together. And so, church, you have opportunities to make an impact in this community by just very small, easy things. But it's huge. It's small as far as time commitment. It's huge as far as impact. This is great, isn't it? So I just want to give you that opportunity. If you want to help out in the hospitality team, you can see the Santellas to help out with cleaning. If you want to help out with being a greeter, see Pat as far as being a greeter, usher, and working in sound and the computer back there. If you want to help out with change of sign, see me, and we can work through all of those things just to give you the opportunity to serve God in those kind of ways. It's just making a difference. So that's moving forward by engaging our community. Moving forward by experiencing Christ. Here's the other side. My expectation here is that we all are experiencing Christ. What does it mean to experience Christ? It's that you know who Christ is. You're serving him. You're walking with him on a daily basis. And so this year, I've taught through the book of Philippians, the beginning of the year. And that was a tremendous time of study for me and growth as well. And I trust for you also. And as we've been praying about it, we have so many people that are kind of new to understanding who God is that I felt that it would be a good time just to go through the entire Bible. And so the elders and I, we prayed, talked about that, and we just decided that's what we're going to do. So back in September, we started our series, The Story, and we're going through the whole Bible in 31 weeks. And what an adventure that's been, and looking forward to the second half of that. We'll start back up next week. And so we're just trying to equip you with understanding who God is and what he's done in the past and what he's doing today. As well, we're equipping you through the group studies. We have ladies' study, men's, and a mixed group. So on Monday nights, every other week, we have a ladies' Bible study, and every other week on the opposite weeks, we have the men's study where just get together and we talk about the message and we talk about the things that are going on in that way. We spend about an hour, hour and a half just discussing the message and the story, the chapter of the story that we're going through. And then on Wednesday nights, it's a mixed, it's whoever. And so within that, we have about 30 people all together that are coming out for those groups, which is tremendous. So you're making yourself available for that. Now, that's awesome. We also, as we've been doing that, we worked on the kids ministry this year. That was a major accomplishment to do, not only the physical areas of redoing and decorating. If you haven't seen it yet, take a look at it. While we go downstairs for lunch in a couple minutes, just go take a walk back through and check everything out. It's really awesome. But as well, we've retrained all of our kids' church workers and our WANA workers to make it more effective. And that's just the beginning. We want to continue to do ongoing training to make us just that much more effective in reaching our kids in a safe and wise way. Measuring people who are experiencing Christ. How do you measure people that are experiencing Christ? Well, all I know to do is check out the statistics. And so here's what we've seen this last year. In 2014, we had seven. I went back and double-checked, and it's actually seven baptisms in 2014. Let's see, what's the next one? Giving. Giving is a step of growth. If you think about giving, is it easy to give money to the church? Yeah. How many of you have so much extra money, you're like, I don't know what to do with this? Wow. You'd think we do because we're consistently on budget. What you give, church, is around $3,000 a week on average, which is awesome. It really is. It's incredible. And I praise God for that. This year, we've seen more consistency in our giving than we've seen in several years, and we're excited for that. And not only in our general, but also in our missions budget as well. Next, about 70% are using their gifts by serving Christ in ministry. What does that mean? Add up all the people that are serving in hospitality team, our kids' ministries, nursery, and everything in music, and just every single ministry. You add all of that up, and it's about 70% of the church is serving in one area, at least in this church. That's awesome. It really is. Most churches are annoyed because they only have 20 to 30%. 30 is a good number. We have about 70%. And so, church, I'm excited for that, but I'm not done yet. I'd like to see 80, 90, 100%. Why? Is there anything better than serving the Lord? I mean, we make it really easy. You want to be a greeter? I mean, spend 15 minutes a week serving God. It's simple. And just keep working at that and let God grow you through that and just see how God can use you to make an impact in other people's lives. Next. Decisions for Christ. At the end of each message, we have a response card. We've been doing this for about 2 years now. And so within this, this is a response to the message. So I calculate that as well. We have an average of 15 response cards each week throughout the year. So it's 15, and kids don't count. So we have about 80 people that come on a weekly basis. So 15 out of 80 is, I don't know what percentage. But it could be better. Because my assumption is that God is doing something in your life each week and you're responding to him by something throughout the week, and that's what these are intended for. So make sure you fill these out so that we can pray more effectively for you. But that's what I would look at and say, okay, this is what God is doing here. Now, here's the negative. And I'm going to conclude sort of with this. In 2014, we did not grow numerically. We actually shrank a little bit, which is disappointing. So whose fault is it? Who's getting the blame for this, right? Well, here's what I would look at, because we really only are missing one family from 2014 that was here in 2013. And they wouldn't, I mean, that would make the number up, I guess. But here's the other thing I see. 2014, for many of you, has been a rough year, honestly. Many of you have been through very difficult times, whether it's financial difficulty, whether it's a loss of a loved one or even two, whether it's serious illnesses or all kinds of different things going on in your life. That it just seems like this year has been a challenging year for many. And I know that because we talk about it. We're family. You'll give me a call, you'll stop by or text, email, and you'll say, hey, Pastor, this is what's going on, or I'll stop by. And it's, hey, this is what's going on. And a lot of it's just private. Here's what's happening. 2014 has been one of those years, more than most, I would say, where there's a lot of things going on. But here's the positive. This is what I love. I love seeing people care for people. This year, the calculation is the best that we could figure out. There were 56 meals given to different people in this church. 56. Those are the ones we could calculate. I believe it's a bit more than that, probably another 5 or 10 more than that this year. That's pretty awesome. But that also says the reason why we're giving meals out is not simply because we're charitable. We are, but we're giving meals out because people are going through so much difficulty. And we just want to be the best blessing we can during the time that they're going through. So 56 meals represents a lot of difficulty. But it represents a church that loves each other. That's awesome. It really is. So I commend you for that. And some of you say, well, I didn't get a meal. Sorry. You can come downstairs and have a free meal on me. I'm kidding. Here's the reality. Let me kind of bring it to a close and say, this is a really different message. I know. It's intentional. In 2015, what's it look like? In 2015, let's stay on track. Let's stay the course. Here's our mission. As we experience Christ, we want to engage communities. That's it. That's our mission. Let's just keep doing that. And let's fulfill that through practically saying we're doing everything we possibly can to be able to fulfill this mission. That's what we want to do. And so let me finish by going back to the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 1, here's how they finish things up there. So Jesus ascends up into heaven. And you remember or maybe you don't remember, here's what an angel did. He comes alongside of them, and while they're gazing, the men stood by them in white robes, and he said, "Men of Galilee, what do you stand looking into heaven? Why are you standing here? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Listen, he's coming back. Do something. Fulfill the mission that he's called you to. Don't just stand around. Don't go back and get a job and do all kinds. Listen, fulfill the mission he's called you to. So here's the first thing they did. And here's, church, what I'm going to ask of you. First thing they did in chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "And all these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer." They were devoting themselves to prayer. As we begin 2015, I'm going to call you, church, to something different. I'm going to call you to pray for both myself and the leadership team. Why? We need some wisdom. We need wisdom to figure out what opportunities do we want to put in front of you to help you to fulfill the mission. We need wisdom as to how do we allocate the funds properly to be able to do what is right for the church so that we can fulfill our mission. We need to have the wisdom to know, do you know how hard it is as a pastor to figure out what to preach on a weekly basis? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, stand up and preach, it's challenging. And when you think about all the needs and things that are going on, it's challenging. And getting the guys to help out and doing it, man, it's challenging. I can't do that without God working in me. Do you know that? I'm not smart enough. I'm not talented enough. I need God's help. And church, I need your help. I need your help. I need you to pray. I need you to pray for myself. I need you to pray for the leadership team corporately that we would take the right steps in the beginning of the year for the first 2 or 3 weeks specifically. Would you take every day and pray? Every day. Just stop for a minute and pray. Be with the leadership team. Be with Pastor. Give him wisdom to know what is right for Berean. We want to take steps that please God this year. Fair enough? And so in the next couple of weeks then, in January, we're going to have our annual business meeting, and at that time we're going to say, here's what God has laid on our heart to do this year. But we can't do that if we're not corporately praying for this. It's amazing to me to see how God works through prayer. It really is. See how God answers prayer and see how God leads through prayer. And so, church, I'm going to ask you, would you pray? Would you pray? It's been a great year. In your response cards today, why don't you take those out? We have a lot of people out today. Asa and his family are up in New York visiting his family. And so he's not here, so I get to do the response card. And my family's up in Lancaster. They got the stomach bug. They were supposed to be back, and they aren't back yet, maybe today. So here's the two things in the response card. Number one, maybe today you say, this is my first day, and I understand what Jesus Christ has done for me, and I am taking a step to be born again through Jesus, my Savior. And maybe that's you today. Say, I'm taking that step today. That'd be awesome if you are. Would you check that off and put your name there so we could just follow up with you? Then the second one, for our annual business meeting, what I want to do is have this as a celebration time. Here's what God is doing. And so for that, I'm going to ask, what has God done in 2014? And for you to then write down, and maybe this isn't enough, you can write a book. Well, maybe not a book, like a booklet, okay? Or a piece of paper or something to share. And basically what you're saying is, I'd like to share what God has done in 2014. So what I'd like to do, I'm assuming that in our church, God has done something in your life in 2014. So my hope is that we have 100% participation because you're experiencing Christ and you have in 2014. Would you write something down just to share? Now, what will happen is I'm not going to share names. Because some of you are like, yeah, but I don't want anybody to know about my problem, or I don't want people to know about this, and I don't want people. Fine. We're not going to do that. We're not going to share names. We're just going to share what God has done so that he gets the glory in all things, okay? And so we're going to do that for January 18th for our annual business meeting. Now, can I be really casual for a minute? For our annual business meeting, we're having a discussion as to what time to have it in during the day. We can either have it right after our message, we can have preaching time, and then we can stop for a minute, and we can have our annual meeting. We did that last year, and it was kind of okay. We could do that then, or we can do that at 6 o'clock, or we can have a lunch, and then do it after lunch, okay? My goal is 100% participation. So can I poll the audience? Let's do statistics together. How many of you would rather do it at 6 o'clock on Sunday night? This is January 18th. That's a zero. Okay. How many would rather have lunch and then have this meeting right after lunch? Okay. 6, 7, 8. Okay. How many would rather have it tagged right on to the end of the service before we go home? Wow, that would be the majority. Okay. How many of you did not answer because you don't answer these questions? Okay, that's two of you. Dan, you're in trouble. I think it'll probably be tagged on then right after the service. Maybe you could show up at 10:30 because that's when our service starts instead of 11. Just to let you know, that in 2015, that's what we're doing. We're starting our service at 10:30 for those that don't know that. I'm kidding you. So, hey, let me ask Jamie, why don't you come up and share this card that we received this week. Appreciate all that you've done, church. By the way, I didn't say, as far as the consistent giving this year, we also gave this year about $14,000 to special projects, which includes the project downstairs and the Silverbergs, the Blackwells, the Williams, and other things. That's incredible. So thank you.
Remember, we had a few people from Berean made a trip up to the Bronx to deliver. If you remember, we had a table up here of grocery items and other things like that. Deliver that to the Silverbergs. And they wrote us a thank you letter back. Dear Pastor Dilworth and all the saints, thank you so very much for your loving generosity toward me and my family on Christ's behalf. You've been a huge encouragement during this most difficult time. In Christ's love, Marty for Joshi, Shekinah, and Josiah. So, church, I just wanted to let you know what a tremendous blessing it was to this man and his children just to be people that really I mean, most of you don't even know who he is and who his family are. Some of you that have been here a little bit longer would remember meeting him. But just wanted to encourage you, we have the ability, when God, we allow God to work through this, through us, we have the ability to be such a blessing to so many people. So don't say no when God is telling you to give. Give accordingly as God has blessed you. It's a tremendous blessing to other people. Guys, if you would come forward at this time, we're going to receive the offering. Also would like to make mention that today is the last day that we are receiving an offering. We'll be announcing it. Of course, if you wanted to give towards it, we're not going to say no, but it's the last time we're going to be mentioning receiving a special offer, the Christmas offering that's going to go towards the Blackwells, our missionaries in South Africa. And as Matt had mentioned earlier, almost $1,600 has come in towards that, and our goal is $3,600. So if you have not given towards that and God has placed that on your heart, please feel free to do so today. Let's pray. Lord God, we just thank you so much that we have the opportunity to give back to you. Thank you that you show us each and every day your love, and you pour it out upon us in such great measure. Lord, as we give back to you now, I pray that you'd use this offering to further this ministry locally as well as around the world. And it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.